other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, a podcast on the internet sponsored by Adjustable Teeth, so your bite fits just right. My name is Aaron. I'm here with my personal pals, Dave.
Morning, boys.
Brick.
Hello.
And, of course, calling from Old Ireland, we have Old Irish Nico.
Good afternoon.
Touche. Nico, you have a topic for us. You're talking about, you asked a question about ready technology earlier, and it was baffling to me. Please tell us more what we're talking
about. All right. I've been getting some slightly more useful ads than some of the Instagram ads I've gotten previously for things that I don't even know what they are. I sent you guys a few pictures. So click in to the most recent one that I sent you. And this is for something called the Remarkable 2. What's crazy to me about some of these things.
The Remarkable 2?
2.
2.
Number 2.
2.
The Remarkable 2.
Yeah. What's crazy to me about some of these things is that they are like an iPad, but with reduced functionality. So the Remarkable 2, so it's like an e-ink tablet that you write on, and it's supposed to be a notebook.
Right.
Take a guess how much that product retails for.
So it's like an Etch-a-Sketch, basically.
$1,000.
Yeah.
I would say like $300.
Okay.
$1,000?
You think $1,000.
I don't know. It's absurd. So what's the difference?
I said three.
I mean, so an iPad is what? $300? Starts at $300? Yeah. Dave, what do you think?
I don't know. $375.
That's
$1.
It's like $450, and the pen is an extra $50. The pen is fucking extra.
Damn.
What a.
Yeah, like you have to have that pen.
Wait, can you.
Who wins by prices, right?
Can you write on it with your hand if you want to? Is that why the pen.
I don't think so.
Like, can you use your finger?
No. I have no idea. But I mean, it's just wild to me that even exists, because you know, too, that it's going to suck and it's going to break.
Yeah.
Super fast. So then the next one is called the Free Write.
Wait, so also that means that there was a Remarkable 1 at some point. Do we know anything about that?
It wasn't remarkable.
It had a sheath of beads inside of it.
It was like, I'm assuming exactly the same, but shittier.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me that they even like sell enough to, because like, why wouldn't you just buy an iPad? If you're going to spend $500 on a tablet, is it really that worth it? Unless you're going to the woods and you need a 2-week battery. I don't understand any other use case for
it. It seems like the appeal here is, I keep saying it feels like paper. It's like it's thin and light in that regard. But even that seems like I'd rather just have paper, I suppose.
Yeah. You'd rather have a notebook or like make the compromise, use an iPad, and then you can also use it for like the internet and to watch Netflix and stuff. And it's cheaper. Right. So then the other one is called the Free Write, which is this is the one that really tipped me over the edge. So it's like, it's a word processor and it has like a mechanical keyboard and all the shit, and then a tiny little e-ink screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can see some pictures of it. You can't even, so the screen, it's like at about a 20 degree angle, the keyboard and the screen. So you can't even tip it up to see the screen. Like you have to either, there's a picture of a guy with it on his lap and he's got to like kind of nudge it up with his knees just so he can read the screen, or else you'd have to like hunch over it. It is a really weird piece of technology. So guess how much that thing costs.
I mean, that looks like something.
$1,000.
It looks like something from the 80s.
It does, yeah. Or like from a sci-fi movie from the late 70s, early 80s.
What that thing, did anyone have a Game Boy back in the day? And then the Game Boy, you got those fucking things that you put on top of it.
Oh, the screen? The kind of magnifier?
That had like the magnifier screen? Yeah, it needs one of those.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I would guess $600.
Yeah, so I used to have one, like an actual word processor back in the day. This is kind of the part that I'm getting to. And like 10, 15, 20 years ago, this thing was like a, maybe $50, which is kind of expensive for like a piece of shit, but I don't know. I decided to buy it. This one, on the other hand, is $570.
Wow.
Of course.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot. I mean, it's almost, not almost, but it's like, you could buy a Chromebook for about that, right? Like a shitty laptop.
Oh, you could
laptop.
Easily buy a laptop, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I just don't get it. Again, unless you're what going into the middle of the woods, because this thing has a battery that will apparently last a month.
Is that the thing? Like, what does the ad copy say its benefits are? Like, why you need one?
Yeah, well, you can go.
It's just battery life?
Yeah, I guess. Here, I'll put the link in. It's getfreewrite.com.
We talked on the e-reader episode about how, like, e-ink came 10 years too late.
Yeah.
And these are more examples of that. Because I think for the purposes these people are doing these things, like, if you just want to write for 8 hours or you need a notebook that actually will digitize your notes and your doodles and your whatever. E-ink is way better than an, I hate reading on my iPad. I don't really like drawing on my iPad, but when I can just use Photoshop on it, like obviously it's better. So there's no, it's a trade-off for sure to not have that, because the e-ink, it feels like writing on paper, looks like writing and reading paper, but it's not worth, I don't understand how you can pay a premium for that. It should be the other way around, where it should be like, yeah, they're $50 and like maybe they get it in, but I guess they just double down and do the same thing. It's like just sell it to, the only people that are going to buy this are rich wannabe authors anyway. Yeah. So we might as well just jack up the price. There's no way there's $500 worth of parts of that thing.
Right.
No.
The free write, I can see the benefit of that if it's like not tied to the internet, like a WordPress that doesn't have internet functionality. So you can't just like go into a tent and write or whatever, or just like even your apartment or wherever you are, like not have the temptation of like going to look at pornography. or the news, whatever you hear,
it comes preloaded with Lady Chatterley's love.
There you go.
Yeah.
Like, how do you get, so if it's not connected to anything, I guess maybe just like a flash drive situation or floppy like disk from the looks of it.
USB or something like that, yeah.
I think that thing has a little Wi-Fi switch, and then you can turn it on and it'll beam it over to your computer. I imagine like completely unformatted and annoying.
Yeah.
Just in a notepad file, just yeah. One continuous line of text that you have to break down yourself.
It's like an RTF. It is just crazy to me though, like, because I kind of understand the Kindle as the e-ink as like probably the most useful e-ink thing, because then at least it is cheaper than getting like a tablet that's like a multi-function thing. But these things that have limited functionality compared to like a tablet, and yet are, you know, up to twice the price. Like, that just blows my mind. I don't understand.
If that remarkable thing were $100, I would.
Yeah, that's where you're getting into, like, impulse buy territory. But when it's $500.
Yeah, I would use it.
Because you know it's going to suck. God.
But you're probably right that, like, part of the targeting is, like, this is for people who have disposable income and like want to think of themselves as being a writer.
Yeah.
So it really doesn't matter. Like the could go as it could be $1,000. Probably the same people would still buy it because it's right. not. It's
or like, but not or would they move. Buy something better? Like, aren't there better options out there for this?
I know there's those pens that record what you do, and then I've seen one of those. It looks similar.
I've never heard of that.
Try that before this. It's like a pen that like so it records your strokes or whatever. So when you're writing in a notebook, you can then download it.
What?
I remember seeing ads for a couple years.
So can you just like pretend you're writing on a like on the wall or something, and it'll just
probably. I don't never use one. Probably. I don't know.
I want to see that in the future. Some lunatic on a subway is writing on the walls like.
So you can write on a blank sheet of paper and then upload it to your computer and then print out the sheet of paper with what you wrote on it. It's like a notebook, but just with like way more steps. Yeah. So my question then for you guys is, what, speaking of having disposable income and being a wannabe writer, what's the stupidest thing that you've ever, or the weirdest thing, or the, I don't know, thing that you've ever spent money on to I don't know, adjacent to writing?
I think the most that I've ever spent money on for writing stuff is like Moleskine notebooks and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like,
speaking of, Moleskine makes that pen.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I feel like, or actually no, I'll say it's my desktop, this computer I'm recording with right now. I bought a separate computer, so I get a laptop through work, and I wanted to have a separate desktop. My old one exploded years ago, and I just for a long time wasn't using any. I was using my laptop from work because I just had did the same job. But the combination of they're increasingly cracking down on surveillance, or not cracking down, they're becoming more surveillance heavy at the university. So I don't trust the laptop anymore. If you work on stuff, creative projects on work material or technology, whatever, work property, then they can technically like claim it, right? So you're trying to like separate as much as possible, that kind of stuff. So I did buy this, and I have like written like two things on it. But I do record the podcast, so it's writing adjacent.
Yeah.
But that's it. Otherwise, I like whatever like word processor I have on hand or paper and pen. I pirated a copy of Final Draft one time to write a screenplay.
Yeah.
I used, back when I actually tried to write, I wouldn't call this a stupid thing because I used it and I loved it, was Scrivener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was a writing tool that I spent money on and enjoyed. I will spend more money on pens I like.
Mm-hmm.
That matters to me. But again, not really like stupid or weird. You joked about fountain pens. I did have one, but I never used it for writing. I just like to draw with them. I spent a lot of like, wait, not a lot because it all cost $1, but I've had many kind of chance impulses on like time management things, and most of them end up being stupid.
Yeah.
And just sort of like you spend more time organizing the fucking app than you do organizing your life. So those don't typically work out. I don't think I've ever bought any like weird writing gadgets.
Dave, anything?
Yeah, no. I mean, Scrivener.
Just a gun.
That's about it. No books.
Scrivener was
yeah,
great.
I still use it sometimes, yeah.
I still use a gun. That's all the time. And a gun. Yeah.
With a single bullet and that you spin it every night and then try and write 1,000 words.
Yes. Before the gun goes off.
Yeah. You have 5 clicks to write 1,000 words.
Yeah, that's what killed Hemingway. Eventually just didn't make it.
Yeah, that was his technology. It was a shotgun in his mouth.
Yeah, so I have like pens that I like, and I've definitely like collected a few fountain pens. I had that old word processor. I think for me, like $50 to maybe $100 my favorite was, I used to, when I was in college, get typewriters at garage sales and then see if I could fix them. I almost always couldn't, but there was actually a guy when I lived in Dallas that still had a business fixing typewriters, and it was 2005. So I had this one that was, the really obnoxious thing about most typewriters is that they're all electric. You have to plug them in, which kind of for me defeated the whole purpose of using a typewriter. If like, if you have to plug it in and then
tracking down a ribbon.
Yeah, it's all right. Electronic. The ribbons are also tough, but you can get those on eBay. But so I had one that was like about the size of a laptop and wasn't electric, so it would just like, you just tap the keys and it was mechanical. But I mean, even that, I think maybe to get it and to get it fixed and to get a ribbon for it was less than $100. $500 is just wild to me for like a thing that you might or might not ever use. I don't know,
like when the end result probably won't be much different than if you had just sat down with a pad and pen or a normal functional word processor and a computer or whatever. Like all that stuff, it makes me think of someone in grad school, I can't remember who it was talking about, like, it was like routines for writing. It was like, if you like have to write like in the tub, whatever, you're never going to write anything because you're putting artificial limits on yourself. Mm. So I think it's kind of like that to me, where it's like the technology could be cool. And like that free write thing, I could see myself using that potentially, but it's probably not going to unlock the thing that you're trying to unlock if you are working a project, right? You could do it by hand.
Yeah. That, well, definitely, yeah. But it's, yeah, I think maybe that's kind of the sales pitch, is like, this is gonna finally unlock whatever. For me, it was always just kind of a curiosity. Totally. It was like, I don't know, like having a slightly different, it's like almost the opposite of a routine. It's like, so you kind of change it up a little. And then also like writing on a typewriter, like you by definition have to do at least one complete rewrite because you have to type it back into something else. Like,
yeah. What about like sort of related, maybe writing organizations, like communal writing spaces? Like Nico, I remember that you used to belong to the writer's room, I think it was called, in Boston, where you just like, you have access to this building and you go and write with other writers.
That was great actually, because it was like relatively cheap. I think it was something like $50 a month and you could go whenever. You had your own keys, and it was this build. It was on State Street. So like, also if you were like in Boston and you just, you know,
you wouldn't have to go to the Charles Hotel anymore. Right.
Yeah. And then also there was a,
that guy never writes. He just comes in.
Yeah, he writes on the wall.
That is my project. Yeah. 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 With that pen.
Was that place open 24/7?
Yeah. So you could go anytime. Wow. There's nobody like there. And also if you asked them to, they wouldn't give you the Wi-Fi password. That was back before I had like a smartphone, so I couldn't like hook my phone up to my computer. So that was pretty cool. And it was very weird that there was like strict silence. Which is obvious, but yeah.
Like there was a code, like you had to, like, you're not allowed to talk, or
yeah, there was like a kitchen, like a little kitchenette that you could talk very quietly in. But then when you go into the main room, it's nothing, because it's just like, I mean, it's a tiny, tiny office, and there's just a bunch of kind of library carrels in there.
Yeah,
with little borders between desks and stuff.
So you liked it because you would get more writing done there than you would like at home? It's like for people who need a place to go to, but
yeah, because then it also feels like, you know, you're going, like, when you, because you, if you go there specifically to write, it's a pain in the ass.
Can you get mail there?
I don't know. I think you could. There were like little mail cubbies.
I'm just wondering why you would go there and not to the library. That's all.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
libraries are loud as.
Yeah.
I mean, the
BPL is cacophonous.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
So is every library I've been to here. It's like we have that image of libraries as being like quiet sanctuaries, but man, that's...
I think it depends on when you go. I used to go to BPL on my lunch break all the time. It was pretty cool.
I think if you have access to, like, a university library, then maybe that's better. But, yeah, no, Boston Library is not... There's always, like, kids, too. Like, you can always... I feel like there's, like, story time. And
I do think, to go back to the tech stuff, a thing that's frustrating for me is I prefer to do things by hand.
Yeah.
I'd much rather write by hand. I don't really like typing very much. I like to doodle and draw and whatever. But then I also like to have them digital, right? And I'm getting better at, like, Photoshop. And, like, it's nice to be able to write by hand and then have a way to then not have to transcribe it and type it up. I've never found a technology. There's a lot of things that promise that they do that, and including these things.
You should get that pen.
Yeah, there you go.
I have no faith that that actually works, right? So, but that would be great. You know, I used to do a lot of doing notebooks in iPad instead of whatever, and then I lost them, and that was another whole thing. But there's never been a great, there's nothing that does both well, right? It's always, you got to kind of, like, choose digital or choose analog or manual or whatever you want to call it. And I can see the appeal of people who, like, that's their profession, wanting to be able to do it their way and then also have it the other, but I think they're getting taken for a ride for $500.
Yeah.
Is there a piece of technology for writing that you would invent that would be actually ideal for you? Like,
honestly,
would you...
I think it's software, and I think we're going to see it in the next 10, 20 years. You know, there's plenty of stuff now where, like, handwriting, transcribing works pretty well. Like, I have software on my work computer through Adobe that will, you know, take scans of things and then convert it to Word documents and stuff, and it works okay. You know, but it doesn't work. It doesn't. It's not flawless.
How about something that converts your writing into what you want it to be rather than what it is? Yeah. I would take that for sure.
I don't know. I mean, that might be real, too, with all those, like, AI-written songs and shit that's out there. So
it's like on the iPhone when you take a picture and do edit it, and there's a touch-up button that makes it, like, a little magic wand or whatever. Do that for your text. Like, touch this up. And it's like, oh, wow, that's a lot better and more meaningful for sure.
Yeah, except for that ducking sucks.
Just an AI nightmare.
Yeah.
There is, like, I think with the Notes app on the iPad now, you can at least, I don't know if it transcribes your writing, but I think you can, like, write notes by hand in the app and then search your handwriting, which is weird.
Yeah, I mean, Apple's been trying that forever. That old, what was that thing? The Newton? What was that, like, pre... Remember there was a kid in my high school class that had one. He thought it was the coolest thing. But, I mean, that thing did the handwriting transcription and, like, searchability in the 90s.
Yeah.
I think that the technology's there. It's just not good enough. I'm sure it's gotten a lot better. But
it's, like, the same as...
It just needs to be seamless, and it's just...
It's the same as all of those, like, voice-activated bullshit, Siri and Alexa and all the rest of them. It's like, they just aren't that good. And you stop using them because it's more frustrating to try to use them and get, like, 90% of the way there and then having to keep hitting your head against the wall rather than just, all right, fuck it, I'm just going to look it up on my phone.
Yeah, I'll just fucking do it. I'm so abusive to Siri, I really have a problem. I might be a bro.
This is a Me Too episode of Yak Babies. Just getting canceled from using Siri.
I treat Siri like I'm some kind of 50s fucking office boss. Jesus, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Example?
I don't think we want that example.
Yeah, you've got to catch it in action.
We used to have a couple of Alexas around the house until we just got so annoyed with them. But I would frequently tell Alexa to shut the fuck up. Would never say anything. Never say, stop the alarm, Alexa. I'd say, shut the fuck up, you stupid robot. And she would be like, in your room.
It's going to strangle you in your sleep someday.
All right. I think we've reached the end of this.
Yeah. Listeners, tell us what's going on with you and writing technology. Do you buy these things? Have you bought a magic pen that transcribes your handwriting into crisp prose on your laptop or computer? Tell us on Twitter at YakBabies, and also email us yakbabiespodcast@gmail.com. with all those thoughts. Also, if you want bonus content, more Yak Babies in your life, you can go to patreon.com/yakbabies and access our secret bonus cast for $1 a month. All kinds of fun stuff happening there. There's games, there's bro-to-bro discussions where we get to the most important topics of the day and really hammer them down. There's drafts, there's all sorts of madness happening there. Like I said, $1 a month gets you access to all that. If you want some blackmail material, go get it. Until then, Yak Babies, yak it off.
The Yak Babies would like to thank all their loyal listeners, and especially their patrons, both past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, David, Roger, Kathleen, Bailey, Andrew, and William Howard Taft.